It was another winning week for the Cubs, but what started with such promise ended with more letdown and once again, more questions. Let's recap the week and talk about why this team is still thriving, even though someone obviously has a voodoo doll of all the key players. And let's take a look ahead to the series against the Mets. Hey Cubs fans, going into the week of April 22nd, things were starting to look like they were going the Cubs' way. Now, while this was a really tough stretch of 16 straight days of baseball that they were starting, they were taking on the former AL West champion Astros, who were really banged up, and if you were going to play them at any point this year, now was the time. Plus, Justin Steele and Seiya Suzuki received some good news about their recoveries, and fans finally got to see Kyle Hendricks and Drew Smyly headed to the IL like they asked for. Speaking of getting what you asked for, I would love if you subscribe to this channel, and if you're already subscribed, thank you so much. Just go ahead and leave a comment down below with what you thought of the Cubs from this last week. Now, one unexpected move was Garrett Cooper being DFA'd and Matt Mervis getting called up. Cooper was actually exceeding expectations, but maybe the Cubs thought there was only room for one redhead on this team? More on that in a second. Either way, there was optimism going into the week, but as soon as the optimism got on the tracks, it got right back off. In game one against the Astros, Cody Bellinger banged up against the wall on a ball that should have never been hit. Why shouldn't it have been hit, you ask? Well, earlier in that inning, Bellinger lost a routine fly ball in the sky, so the ball being hit with two outs actually should have not happened at all, because there should have been three outs already. Bellinger was taken out of the game, but then he got us all nice and primed for a letdown when he said this after the game.
It was nothing serious. It's dull. It's very dull pain even now, which is a good sign. X-rays were negative, so feeling a little good right now.
But the X-rays were wrong, because that always happens, right? And in fact, he did have a fractured rib, which, by the way, on average takes about 50 days to recover from. Fantastic. That really overshadowed Jordan Wick's best start of the year and Mike Tauchman's best offensive performance of the year. Wick's went 6 innings and got the win, and Tauchman went yard twice. Oh, Bellinger also tied his highest exit velocity as a Cub with a first inning home run too. We won't be saying anything remotely close to that again till at least the summer. Before Game 2, the Cubs announced that they were filling their token redhead slot with Pete Crow Armstrong. PCA had been struggling in AAA, wasn't really expected to come up, but with Bellinger now on the IL, they needed help in center. He didn't factor into this game against the Astros, but the offense got out to another huge first inning. This 3-run home run off of the bat of Dansby Swanson gave the Cubs a 4-0 lead, and then after that, the offense went to the beach. Luckily, the pitching did just well enough to hold the Astros at bay, and the Cubs won Game 2 4-3. Jameson Taillon got his second win in as many games since returning from the IL. In the finale of the series, Justin Verlander looked like the Hall of Famer that he will be. He was tough, but so was Javier Assad, and luckily the ass man just kept the Cubs in the game. He only allowed one run in 5 2/3 innings, and the Cubs' offense was able to work up a high pitch count for Verlander and get him out of there with one out in the fifth inning. Enter the Astros' bullpen and Pete Crow Armstrong. It took the 22-year-old 22 plate appearances for his first MLB hit. He was fashionably late, and we were okay with it as Cubs fans. A 2-run home run to get the monkey off his back and give the Cubs a 3-1 lead, and they held on for the sweep. Pack your bags, it's off to Boston. First trip to Fenway since 2017, and the Cubs and Shota Imanaga came out with an exclamation point in Game 1. This game was supposed to be a pitcher's duel, but the Cubs and Craig Counsell put out a lineup that found a way to get to Cutter Crawford, who had a .66 ERA going into this game. PCA stays hot after getting his first hit. He had 2 hits and drove in 2 runs, and Shota went 6 1/3 innings. His only blemish was a home run off the bat of the hottest hitter on the planet, Tyler O'Neill. Cubs win 7-1. Saturday, well, let's just pretend like it didn't happen, and let's just say that they were due for an embarrassing loss and a position player to pitch. Cubs get shut out for the first time this year and lose 17-0. Ugh. Sunday, the injury bug bit the Cubs again. Now it's Jordan Wicks. Wicks was scratched and sent to the IL with forearm tightness, but Craig Counsell said it shouldn't last past 15 days. Hayden Wisniewski gets the spot start and did very well considering it was last minute. 4 innings, 2 runs, only one was earned. Unfortunately, Tanner Houck was nearly untouchable. The last time Houck pitched at Fenway, he shut out the Guardians on a 94-pitch complete game, and it looked like he could duplicate that on Sunday, but he did end up going just 6 2/3 and gave up one run. In the bottom of the seventh, ESPN said the Cubs had a 5% chance to win that game, but in the top of the eighth, Mike Tauchman said, "I don't listen to that crap." Three-run home run ties the game off of former Cub Chris Martin, but Mark Leiter Jr. finally gives up a run. Not the way you wanted to lose that one, but the Cubs showed serious fight in a game that felt like it was out of reach. Cubs go 4-2 in the six games for the week and are now 17-11. Okay, let's take a step back for a second and point out some of the glaring positives. Despite losing your ace, probably your best reliever, and arguably your best two hitters, the Cubs are still 17-11. And despite your closer blowing four saves in one-run games, you're still off to the best start since 2020. And even though every day you're wondering which porcelain doll will break for the Cubs, they are still going to finish April with an impressive record. But that still doesn't take away the fact that the Cubs' offense is looking like they are playing on fumes. This team just hit .241 in this past week and slugged .673, only a total of 12 extra base hits in the six games. And maybe most concerning, the patient approach took a quick downturn. They walked 16 times in six games. That's about 2.5 walks per game. Before this week, the entire season, the team had been averaging 4 walks per game. Now, we have to keep in mind that 3 of these games were against the best pitching staff in Major League Baseball with the Red Sox, so those numbers are going to be skewed. And even though as a team at the plate, they didn't perform that great, there are some positives from some key players that were in slumps. Christopher Morel looked better with a .235 average and a .644 OPS. Still not what you want from your cleanup hitter, but that's better than the .075 average he had in his previous 11 games. Dansby Swanson also kicked it up a notch. He hit .261 in the six-game stretch with a home run, and there was much more consistent hard contact. And of course, Mike Tauchman is just playing in another world right now, which the Cubs desperately need, given the fact that Michael Busch and Ian Happ have not been producing as of late. And it's wild, but there's something that Mike likes about being Cody Bellinger's replacement. Before I go over these numbers, Boog and JD talk about it a lot on the broadcast. Is there such a thing as clutch? I believe there is, and I believe that Mike Tauchman is one of those clutch players that rises to the occasion, but you let me know. What do you think? Is it just a coincidence that Tauchman is producing while Bellinger is hurt, or is it because of Bellinger being hurt that Tauchman is producing? In the 23 games last year that Tauchman played while Bellinger was hurt, he had a .299 average and a .415 on-base percentage. Now in 5 games with Belly on the shelf this year, Tauchman is 5-for-15 with a .524 on-base percentage and a .1057 OPS. Is that sustainable? Probably not, but Tauchman seems to rise to the occasion when the team needs him, and that's something that the Cubs will have to rely on while they wait for Seiya and Belly to get healthy. Speaking of Seiya, there's still not much of an update for the outfielder's timetable, but the Cubs really need him back and hitting the way that he was. With a healthy Seiya this year, the Cubs were batting .241 as a team with a .736 OPS and scoring 5.5 runs per game in 15 games. Without Seiya, they have a slightly better average at .251, but a lower OPS at .706, and they are scoring nearly a run less per game at 4.8. The Seiya-less Cubs will take their luck to the Big Apple to take on the roller coaster Mets. After losing their first 5 games to start the season, the Mets have won 14 of 22, but they have now lost each of their last 2 series and 5 of their last 7 games. So once again, the Cubs are hoping to catch a team at the right time. Probables for this series are Jameson Taillon to kick it off for the Cubs against a reborn Luis Severino. Javier Assad takes on Sean Manaea in Game 2. Shota Imanaga brings his dazzling 0.98 ERA to the mound against Jose Bateau. And Ben Brown will try to bounce back in the finale against Adrian Hauser, who has been struggling mightily this year. The Mets did just activate JD Martinez, who was another Scott Boras client to sign way too late. And one guy to look out for is Pete Alonso, which sounds like a no-duh statement, but Alonso in his last 16 games has 6 home runs, a .312 batting average, and an OPS of 1,047. And in 27 games and 115 plate appearances against the Cubs in his career, he has a 1,129 OPS, and that includes 15 home runs. Now, many Cubs fans thought Pete might be a Cub on opening day of 2024 via a trade, but after getting Michael Busch in a trade with the Dodgers, that went out the window. So is this a potential tryout for the Cubs for Alonso at the trade deadline? Not likely if Busch keeps hitting the way that he is, and also not likely if the Mets keep on playing winning baseball. But the Alonso to the Cubs talks has surfaced and resurfaced for a few years now, so nothing is impossible. Let me know what you think in the comments. Is it possible that Alonso can still have a chance to be a Cub before this year is done? And maybe the most exciting thing coming up this week is the Brewers are coming to Wrigley Field. That's right, Craig Counsell will face his former club. Now, this is bound to probably not be nearly as dramatic as when Counsell goes back to American Family Field, but it still will be a very exciting series as the Brewers currently have a half game lead over the Cubs for first place in the Central. If you like this video, make sure to check out my interview with Cubs sideline reporter Taylor McGregor. It just popped up for you on your screen.